Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Would you all stand, please? Give the Lord a big hand for all He's done this morning. Praise God. That's not important. You know, this message I started a couple weeks ago, and it was supposed to be a one-message situation, and God said, oh yeah, really? You know, because they're talking about, but the subject matter is called I've Changed My Mind. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. That's going to be our foundation for what we're going to finish this up with this week. And so, and you read the responding verse. First verse goes like that, we're going to read this. However, we speak wisdom. No, I'll read that one, then we'll go to the next one. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that that have been freely given to us by God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, verse 16, for who has the mind of the Lord, they may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to seal this message today talking about the mind of Christ. Because, Lord, there's so many things that happen to us. There's so many things we get entangled with of the world. But today we want to finish this thing out strong, knowing the fact that our mind needs to be changed. And we need to change our mind to follow not our own mind, but the mind of the Spirit, of mind of Christ. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to be the director, the teacher, the sanctifier, the purger of things that are not like you, and allow us to follow after you in every way. We thank you for these things. We give praise and honor and glory to you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
Turn to somebody, this is the last time you can say, I've changed my mind. Come on, tell them, I changed my mind. You may be seated. Perhaps the most difficult, or I should say strongest decision we've ever made in our lives, at least for me it is, that we place on our minds is the finality of making a decision and sticking with it. Amen. Ever decide you're going to do something, oh, well, maybe I won't do that. It's something about that causes us to question, but what about this? After we've examined our motives, we talked about that, resolved our issues with our identity, and examine the network of people that we're hanging around with and the connections that we take confidence in, the final thing we're going to talk about is the decision. You know, is that, are you seeing that show? Is that your final answer? Or is that Millionaire or somebody like that? Is that your final answer? Lock it in, whatever. Well, the deal is this. The Bible clearly makes a case that as believers, we have a constant access to the mind of Christ for the filtering all our decisions that will lead to a life of godliness. Everything that comes from the mind of Christ will lead you to a life of godliness, to be just like him. Here's a question for today. First one is this. Do you find yourself wrestling with decisions, not knowing whether they are from the Lord or fueled by selfish desires? Say yes. I'm going to keep you from sinning. Yes, you do. Because you're just so convinced, and then something comes along. But the Holy Spirit is going to become so resonant and so prevalent in your life that you'll have peace in making decisions from this day forward. And I'm really saying that with confidence. Number two, have you embraced a working knowledge of what it means to have the mind of Christ versus entertaining things that are of the flesh? And that's my job today, and I only have a short period of time to do it, but I believe the Holy Spirit will attach some things to your conscience, to your will, to your motives, that will cause you to say, be confident that this is really what Jesus wants me to do. How about this? Is your confidence in the Holy Spirit anchored in the truth of God's word to keep your mind focused on Jesus? And that seems so simplistic. And it's more than the what would Jesus do bracelet. What would Jesus do? Oh, I don't really know. Oh, I lost my bracelet, so I don't, whatever. The deal is this. The mind of Christ, it's not that it overrides. It is the fact that that's what you rely on to keep things going the right direction. Here's, we're going to go into a place that we must decide to live in the freedom of a spiritual mindset. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And that's a big piece, but let's go to it real quickly. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, preferring preference to one another. Not lagging along in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in the hope and the patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing needs to the saints, given to hospitality. A few others. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Just a few more. Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much lies depends upon you. Live it peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Just a couple more. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If in so doing, you will reap coals of fire on his head. But here's the last one that'll get you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with that is the prescription that if you, and I want you to write that thing down someplace where you'll remember it. And if you wonder, what does the mind of Christ look like? That's what it looks like. Really? Well, you know, and it's just in the totality. And if you filter all of your responses through those scriptures, I guarantee you, the mind of Christ will be an easy thing for you to adhere to. But I just want to just get to a few of them. We must align our choices with the confession of our mouth. Now, what comes out of your mouth, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And there's another thing that sometimes we make confessions that really aren't true. Here's one thing. You would tell yourself, oh, I can't miss watching the have-nots. Really? You've already got a mindset that there's something on the have-nots that you need to adhere to. Or you need to know, or you need to follow the storyline, or whatever it happens to be. Now, you could be a Netflix ad, or you could be the Big Bang Theory, which is the number one show that's been for all these different times. I think I watched it twice. I was thinking, seriously, people are hung on this? Really? I mean, I wanted to find out what y'all are hanging on, you know? I said, oh, no, and the West Wing, I've never seen it yet, and I'm not really feeling like I've been deprived. But these are things that some people get their mindset on. Oh, I can't miss that episode. Oh, my goodness. Of course, nowadays, you can go back, click that says, West Wing. You know what I'm talking about, that little thing. You mash that button, says, what do you want? And if he can't find it, Alexa will find it for you. You know she will. Latest episode, West Wing. All right, I'm gonna leave you alone for a minute. Okay, loving what Jesus loves and hating what Jesus hates are the fundamental foundation for a healthy mind. And when you say hating what Jesus hates, does Jesus hate West Wing? I don't think so, because there's people in it. But there's a mentality behind it. There's a philosophy behind it that will not lead you down the right path. That's what we're after. What about this? We must choose to walk away from what is evil and cleave to what is good. And when something propagates evil, why do you want to fill your mind with it? I just don't get it. Oh, watch her. She's showing something. She's gonna get over him. She's gonna kill him. She's gonna steal from him. She's gonna be laying up with her husband. Watch. That's what she's gonna. The hussy. That's what she do. You're talking to the TV set. Yes, you are. Scripting it out. You know what's gonna happen. But see, there she goes. I told you she's going there. You know more about the devil than you. Well, I'm gonna leave that alone. Okay. Let me go on. Our choices will be centered around the things that really matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. This is good. This is the one we'll focus on. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Here it is again. We have the mind of Christ. Ever tried to tell Jesus how it ought to be? Say yes. Oh, I just have a suggestion of how things might work out. You know, I saw someone in the coffee shop today, and I think he'd make a great husband. Jesus. Just arrange so we can get together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wish I could park there, but I don't have time. Anyway, brotherly love is more than the emotional feeling of hoping for the best. When we truly want to honor someone, we're willing to give them our best. Amen. I learned this many years ago, or at least I remember someone teaching this to me many years ago. It says, pray for something you really want to have in your life and have the grace for God to give it to you, that once you get it, you're willing to give it to somebody else and not keep it for yourself. Some of you will never pray that prayer. Never. I want it, I got it, it's mine. But what about Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but laid down everything in order to redeem you? It's going to be amazing when we find out what God does in our lives. When we give preference to others, it is out of love birthed in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And I know on my best day, when I think I'm really loving, it's not even close to what the Holy Spirit wants to manifest through me. And the joy that will come to my life and your life when we're under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, where he gives you a capacity to love beyond what you could imagine. I want to tell you what I've been going through, just in a personal level. The Lord has not, and the Holy Spirit hasn't allowed me to really be restful in the idea that I still know that there are thousands of people in California that are living in shelters, they're living on Walmart parking lots, that are living in tents because their houses are gone. Now, maybe you sleep well, and I'm not going to condemn you for that. But, you know, somehow God's going to tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. If it's financial, if it's drive down there and work in a food line for a week or so, I don't know. But there's something within me that says, I just can't leave that alone. But when you use it, you kind of just, oh, another tragedy. Oh, it just must be like Katrina. Must be tough. And you've moved on. There's something about the mind of Christ that we dismiss, that God can get a hold of us on a level that's beyond us. And that's important, because that's kind of the mind, how the mind of Christ works. One of the awareness our awareness of needs and desire to meet them will be on the forefront of our mind. Well, what about this? We will offer ourselves to freely for the benefit of those in need. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service of worship. And be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the acceptable, what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The word beseech is like saying, hold on, bro. Listen to this. By the mercy of God, that you present yourself willingly, not a dead sacrifice, a living one. A living sacrifice has to feel, has to get involved, has to engage on a level where it really costs you something. Well, what does that mean? The renewal of our mind rests in the confidence of allowing ourselves to be used for the glory of God, to expand his kingdom. And not only that, our daily transformation occurs as our minds are renewed by serving one another. You know, I have these interesting ideas in my mind, and I know some of them are not from God. Well, okay, a lot of them aren't. But I said, you know, what I think I should do so I can identify with the people down in California, I think I should set up a tent on the lawn of the community center and live there for a week. I see none of you want to join me, right? But because we do have a shower over in the community center, so I wouldn't be like a mountain man. But I said, I wonder if I could do that for a week. As much as that sounds like it was from God, it wasn't. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, but we get these ideas in our mind that we want to identify with suffering on our own level of situation. And you know, our mind can play tricks on us. But I'll tell you, but I dare you, when the Holy Spirit has come to you and given you a direct command, I dare you to resist that. You won't be able to do very well. So what about this? Our daily transformation occurs as our minds are renewed by serving one another, but we will walk in the power and authority over the devil as we renew our minds by making holy and righteous decisions. Seemingly meaning this. Our behavior as believers will embrace principles of the kingdom as we decide to follow the ways of the kingdom. We'll be able to bless those who curse us. That's when we find out we have the mind of Christ. I don't need to examine your life or find out what you've been through, but I think everybody has had either a boss that kind of gave you a rough time or a neighbor that was kind of offensive. They did all kind of crazy things and you just had to tolerate them. Did you ever bless them? Well, no. Why? That's what the Bible says. The mind of Christ isn't something that's convenient. And sometimes it'll put you in a particular place that you really won't want to do that. So the idea is, bless those who curse you. You're thinking, they don't deserve that. Do you deserve to be saved after all you've done? Can I bring it to you real today? Well, consider a little bit more of that. Generosity and desire to help those in need will capture your hearts. And I think the next phase for a few weeks, because we're coming close to Christmas time, I want to let you know that your philosophy or your idea of generosity is not even close to what Jesus has in mind. Because you say, oh, I'm gonna get them this big present. I'm going to blow their minds. You already missed it. Because it's not about them, it's about you. Well, I thought I'm being generous. No, you're not. You're trying to flaunt something before them. You're trying to demean them with what you call your generosity. And really, you want to feel bigger than who you really are. I dare you to give it to them anonymously. Well, I don't want them to do it anonymously. I want them to know how wonderful I am. Yeah. We still got work to do on you. Okay. Our alignment with those of humble means will be easily embraced. I know we have our own posse of folks that we hang out with. But for some reason, Jesus kind of gave us an example that he hung around with some pretty common folk. Now, that doesn't mean you have to change your whole posse, as it were. But when you exclude people on the basis of who you think you are worthy to hang around with, there's a problem, a real problem. And God's got to change our minds regarding that. Well, I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament that will help us put some real, meat or whatever it is on this whole idea. When we change our mind, it should be to benefit others. This is in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 11. This is a great story. Now there were four lepers, men at the entrance of the gate. They said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, what happened? Oh, there we go. Okay. If say we're going to enter the city and the famine is in the city, we shall die there. If we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians, and if they keep us alive, we shall live, but if they kill us, we shall only die. Just leave it there for a moment. I want to give you a story. This is in the Old Testament. And during this time, there was a great famine going on in the land, and it was caused because Elijah said, it's not going to rain, and there was really nothing to be had. And if you read the story before that, you're thinking, cannibalism? Really? I mean, it was bad. But now we've come upon four lepers. Now, these four lepers, they're already ostracized because they have leprosy, and nobody's going to hang with them. But they came to a place where they had to make a choice. They said, you know what? The Syrians have got stuff. We know they do because they've raided our camps. And so we're lepers. If we go there and they see us coming and they kill us, what we got to lose? We die. If we stay here, we know for sure we're going to die. So I'll tell you what. Let's make a choice as to how we're going to die. Some of you are too silly to make that choice. Oh, I'm really kind of torn between the two. Really? Ultimately, you're going to die. Give yourself some, not death with dignity. It wasn't like, you know, like Job, and he was going through his thing, you know, when God, everything happened, his camels were gone, and his kids were gone, and his wealth is gone. He's boiled all over. And then his wife says, Job, die with dignity. Keep your dignity, Job. Curse God and die. You hear me? She's Jewish, okay? Maybe not, I don't know. Maybe. But anyway, all right, let's go on to the next little part. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused an army of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they all said to one another, look! The king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to attack us. Keep going. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Or just leave it right there for a moment, okay? Whoa. They take a step. And all of a sudden, it's not like they thought it was going to be. Have you ever stepped out of your comfort zone? You had a mind that God told you to do something, and it was a lot different than you thought it was going to be? But you never would have known unless you'd gone where God told you to go. Aren't you glad you went? Oh, I don't know whether I should go or not. But something within him says, you know, take, call it a risk, call it whatever, but just take this step of faith, as it were. Take the mind that was there. And with the outskirts of the camp, and these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp. They went into one tent and they ate, they drank, and they carried forth its silver and its gold and its clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Next verse, please. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent, and if we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. Some of you would never do that. That offends me. I'm just calling it like it is. Hey, this is our stuff, and who cares about anybody else? Unfortunately, the mind of Christ doesn't operate that way, but let me just dissect this for a few moments. Our first decision is fundamental to our future. The Lord will allow us to decide what direction our life is going to take. And Jesus has paved a way for us to discover the significance of life, how it will impact the lives of other people. So the men that had leprosy, they came to the decision that was beyond themselves. Verses 8 and 9, this is interesting. And they carried all the stuff and they came back and they entered the tents and they carried all the stuff away and they went and they hid it. That's their first response. This is for us. And unfortunately, I've been there before myself. I've worked hard for this. Some people never believed in me, so what? It's mine. Get your own. Well, God will place us in a position that where we'll have to make choices, what will come will call upon his nature that's placed within us. The good news of Jesus will be placed in the hearts of all believers to share with all those who need to hear it. My question to you is, who have you told lately about Jesus? It's quiet in here. But that's the good news. But you have the mind of Christ. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to spend these last few moments talking about the problem that's within us. Well, our silence is what has been given to us, what has been given to us, must be abandoned. And I need to use this word, we don't use it very often. But as the body of Christ, I'm including myself in it, we're selfish. We really are. We know we have the keys to eternal life. We have the recipe for people who have trouble with their marriages, trouble with their kids, trouble with their finances, trouble with their life in general, and we aren't telling anybody. I knew it would be a quiet service. Our mind must be willing to include people that need to hear the good news that God has made us aware of and made a way, and their enemy is defeated. Well, we are not doing the right thing until we are willing to look beyond ourselves.
Amen.
Our conviction is based upon the goodness of the Lord, and the Lord Jesus has already atoned for our sin, and we need not fear punishment. Now let's get to the next verse. We should not be discouraged by those who do not believe in the goodness of God. Verse 12. 7:12, I think, is where we want to go. Yeah. Verse 12. Okay. So they went to the king, and so the king arose at night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done." They've gone to see the king. He said, "Let me tell you what the Syrians have done. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the fields, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get in them alive and get in the city.'" Go on to the next verse. After that, I believe you probably don't have that. Don't worry about that. I think they kind of got that confused. Doesn't matter. So we should not be discouraged. So they go into the king, and his first response is, "This is a trick. The Syrians really aren't gone. They want us to go in there, and they're going to take us by surprise, and we're going to get taken out." And so our decision as to share what we found with others, we have a decision to make: is this really true? Do we really believe that God has made a way for folks to get out of their situation, or is it just kind of a trick of the enemy, and we'll put our own selves at risk? I don't know. Our daily transformation occurs as our minds are renewed by serving one another, which means this: we will walk in the power and the authority over the devil as we renew our minds by making holy and righteous decisions. The first thing that the things after they gathered all this stuff to themselves, they said, "What we're doing isn't right. If you're going to change your mind, you're going to have to tell yourself something and have a little conversation with yourself. You know something? I haven't been doing the right thing by people that I have relationship with, and I haven't told them anything about Jesus." What? You know, I'm smart enough to believe that some of that's fallen on deaf ears. Well, you know, people are skeptical about religion nowadays, and I don't want to cause any controversy at work, and I want people to think I'm a Jesus freak, so I'll just pray that they'll have a special on TV and they'll get saved. Yeah. Well, the mind of Christ is amazing, because when we get to a place of really asking God what he wants us to do, our decision will come down to the point where we must make choices in alignment with our confession. It simply means this. The lepers made the choice to go into the city. They experienced a controversy. And if we pick up the story, it goes to the place where they're following through on the stuff that happens to them. And then the whole controversy of the issue is they're thinking, well, you know, we're going to be in trouble. Nobody's going to believe this. I think that if we study the whole life of Paul the Apostle, we'll find out there are many times that he went to share after he was one that propagated the fact that all the things of the kingdom of God were not really credible. But the issue is this. Here's what happens. In verse 12, he says, so they said they've gone this. And in verse 13, he says, and one of his servants answered and said, please, let several take five of the remaining horses that are left in the city. Look, that they may look and either become like all of the multitude of Israel they are left in, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. Let us send them and see. Now watch this. Therefore, they took two chariots with the horses, and the king sent them. And he said, go and see. Now watch this, verse 15. And they went out after Jordan. Indeed, all the road was full of garments, weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians, and a seath of flour was sold for a shekel, and two seas of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now listen carefully. I'm going to wind this up a little bit early, because there's something that I believe that we need to do today that'll be imperative for us as believers. So they go out. They said, well, let's go investigate. Let's make a decision. Let's go find out if this is really true. And they find out. It's exactly like the lepers said. The Syrians are gone. And all this is for them to inherit. Here's the problem. Their decision to go forward was made knowing that if they made no decision, they're all destined to die. Some of us are in the valley of decision today. And our life is kind of fleeting by from us, and we're not making a decision one way or another. Well, you know, if God really wants this to happen, then he'll reveal this. And he's already told you. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. That's not a suggestion, that's a commandment. But the deal behind it is, for some reason, we've had ourselves paralyzed, not for the decision. Their discovery led them to making a greater decision from their heart that included those beyond themselves. Can I take you just for a moment with a journey with these lepers? Can you imagine how discouraging it would be? You go in, you've seen something. You've seen the Syrian camp, there's nobody there. And the king says to you, really? That's a trick. There's nothing, this isn't like you say. It's just some other, and the hardest thing for us is to be disbelieved. We don't like that. We take it personally. But what about what the Bible says? Even if they don't believe you, tell them. Tell them. That's if you believe that what you say you believe, tell them. But you know what the problem is? We don't believe what we say we believe. Ow. Because if we did, we wouldn't be so reticent to share it. As believers with the mind of Christ, all of our decisions are to be a reflection of our encounter with Jesus. Number one, we're willing to be a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the of your mind. We got to change the way we think. Here's a question for you, and everyone gets to answer yes. Ever been intimidated by someone? The rest of you are liars. Because we all have been. And one of the things about intimidation is we have a false concept of the power that they have within themselves to control our destiny. If I say this, I'll lose my job. If I say this, they won't, you know, I won't have any friends. And do you really believe that? You must. But here's the thing it says. So the second thing is, we love as he loved us. The question is, how much has Jesus loved you? Did he love you beyond your sin? Did he love you while you were in your sin? Does he love you in spite of your sin even now? And you wouldn't want to introduce him to someone like that? Seriously? What about this? We choose to give our lives that others may live. That's a tough one. He who seeks to save his life shall lose it. He who loses it for my sake shall find it. Jesus said that. Jesus meant that. I'm going to invite the worship team up, back up here just a little bit earlier as I give these last few points. We must be willing to set our minds on the things that matter. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Yet indeed, I count also all things lost for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I've suffered the loss of what? What have you lost recently because you served Jesus? Don't say it out loud. I want to say for most of us, nothing. Nothing. But here we go. Goes a little bit further. Then he says, all for the love of Jesus Christ, whom I suffered, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So is there anything you've ever lost that you feel like you've just really lost it all? Or was it rubbish in contained to what you have gained from knowing Jesus? Make the comparison now. And let's do a little let's do a spreadsheet on this whole thing, okay? And be found in him, not having my a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, righteousness which is, comes from God. But here's the part. I want everybody to stand to their feet right now because we're going to do something here. And I want you to repeat this last part. It says, here we go, that I may. Here we go. That I may. Go to the next part so they can finish that, please. No, he'll get it up there in a second. It's the latter part of the verse, I believe. Well, we're just going to leave it. It's coming. Well, do you have it there? Being conformed to his death. Well, that's a good place to start. Stop at his death. I'm gonna get this thing for you because you know sometimes you never know. I got this little thin Bible and all the pages stick together. Ah, here we go. Yeah, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Want every head bowed, every eye closed at this moment. It's decision time. It's decision time. Holy Spirit, Would you arrest the presence of this moment in the hearts of individuals that are here, that have vacillated back and forth with the idea, with the concept of what it means to serve Jesus. Amen. Lord, not out of condemnation, but Lord, somehow there's something that is looming in the hearts of individuals here today that says, I want to solidify my relationship with Jesus. I want to give him everything. Not part of me, but all of me. I'm not going to hide the truth of who he is in my life from people any longer. I don't care what people think about me. I just care what God knows about me. I'm ready to surrender everything to him. I'm going to pray a prayer, and at the end of this prayer, I'm going to ask for people that will come today that will be honest and say, you know, Pastor, I get it. I can no longer live in this place where I've kind of been complacent and abstract and away from Jesus. I want to be totally all in with Jesus and give him all that I've got. Father, in Jesus' name, there are people here, and Lord, not out of condemnation, not out of guilt, not out of emotional persuasion, but Lord, the testimony of your Holy Spirit in their heart today says they need to make a movement toward you today that would solidify, and for some people, the very first time would say, you know, I belong to Jesus. I've changed my mind. The things of the world don't mean anything to me. I want to be 100% in Jesus' camp. If that's you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand and say, yep, today, this is the day. This is it. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift up, come on. It's okay. There's some folks in the back that are doing that. Let's pray, Jesus, as we leave this place, but not your presence. Lord, redirect the steps of those still yet to at that decision place to come forward and even commit further their life to you from this day forward. Holy Spirit, guide and direct us the rest of this week, and thank you for this great celebration this weekend of Thanksgiving to you. Bring us back at the appointed time that we will serve you with all of our hearts. We praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.